It's Friday. You know what that is. That's special Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. That's, you know, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny on the ropes because it's Jacob's choice, producer's choice. And man, Johnny, I don't know about you, dude, but I get nervous on the nights before Jacob's choice because...
Oh, man, I get excited. I get pumped up for it. I love the samples that he brings in, and then he catches us on our toes, keeps us live. Tim, we miss the live audience, and Jacob brings that element to us every week.
But I'm not quick enough to put his, you know, questions into my my AI consciousness, my digital twin.
Oh, and, Tim, you know, just tell him to get off your lawn, keep it moving.
Well, I've just become so dependent on my chat buddy, Digital Tim. But, Jacob, how are you doing, man? I'm not nervous, Jacob. I am excited. So
he's got his medical glasses on.
Well, I'm glad you're excited, Tim. I would hate for you to be worried about my questions, like I'm going to try to get you or something. I mean, we're all in this together, I think.
My past experience with teachers is that most of them are out to get you.
That's true. That's true. I've heard that so many times, especially with the two that I work closest with. All right, it's time for the Producer's Choice Show. Here's the theme song.
Anything goes. It's going to be Producer's Choice.
Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow!
Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
Guys, thank you so much for being here. It really means a lot to me because you were on the first two editions of the show, and I thought, mixed bag, and I wasn't sure if you'd come back, but I really appreciate you sticking with me here. This is the Producer's Choice edition of Busted Pencils. I'm producer Jacob, joined as always by two of the best guests that have ever been on their own show, Drs. Johnny Lupinacci and Tim Slecker. Guys, we've been talking about international students a lot on the program lately because of the president's wacko stand against Harvard and things like that. But today, I want to take us in a slightly different direction. Tim, Johnny, I want you to tell me a bit about our international educators today. It's a frequent topic of conversation in the education space, looking at the Scandinavian model or the Singapore model. On and on it goes. Education is handled differently all around the world. And these international methods all have their supporters and their detractors here in the United States. So here's the topic, guys. Tell me about an overseas education system, method, or individual educator that you want to highlight as being worthy of emulating here in America. Tim, because you're scared, we'll start off with Johnny.
I get the pole position on this. I think I'm going to take something that Tim is not going to go at because I kind of have a hunch of some of Tim's favorite international influences in education. Also, as it relates to the reason why he started this show. So I'll leave that for him, but that's a big one, and I'll let him get into that. And if he doesn't, I'll loop back around to it. But, Jacob, my favorite thing about the international model of education, as I'm going to focus on higher education, is that primarily we are one of the few places that all of its public higher education is incredibly expensive for the learner. All right. Most public education options of higher education via be trade school or, you know, a particular major at a college or a university. It might not be the elite private university that you want to go to, but public education is available to you via the government support, not in the form of loans, but in the form of how we have gone and understood our K-12 education here in the U.S. So it's almost like kind of like we talk about universal health care. It's universal access to higher education as part of, dare we say it, right, socialist democracies, saying that education matters all the way into our adulthood. And if we want to have a learned community of folks. Well, let's support them all the way through, not having them fall into debt in doing so, right? And so the student loan sort of pay large amounts of tuition model that has become so the norm here in the United States is not the norm in many of those international models that, Jacob, you're asking us about. And so I really appreciate that, and I like that. Some folks might also point out that it's a little bit different and there's more of a tracking system. It's harder to get into those universities. But, you know, that doesn't mean that there's not something for everybody in terms of apprenticeship, trades, all kinds of ways that we can fit into our community. Because, dare I say it, university should be available to all, but it might not be the right choice for all until we make it a business. And then it's get everybody in those seats. So I like all the aspects, even the critique of it, I embrace and I like, because, you know, just because it's available doesn't mean everyone's going to choose it, right? And so I kind of like how that approach balances itself out. So public education all the way through higher ed, funded primarily by, you know, governments and tax dollars. There, I sound a little socialist there, but I like that model and I like that influence. Great question, Jacob.
Johnny, I really think it's hard for people to understand in America because it's just so foreign to us. But like you're saying, in other countries, not all of them, obviously, but in many other countries, and especially I think we start thinking about Europe and Western Europe and the UK and things like that. I mean, the system is very different when it comes to higher education. And it's not just one system, Johnny, you could tell people about, but each of them have their own systems. But overall, it tends to be, like you're saying, much more state funded.
And I'll give you, so it's like, it's primarily the models I would turn to as having figured this out really well. Germany, Norway, Finland, Iceland, you know, it's a tuition-free public university system. France and Sweden also offer education to students in the EU in general. So it's been something, you know, that those countries have been working on for some time and figuring out. Kind of around the time when we went into a heavy pay lots of amounts of tuition and get loans. So instead of the government saying, hey, we got your back, they were like, hey, we're going to make some money on your back. you know, that's the direction we went here. Around that same time, those countries went the opposite direction and said, hey, let's lock down, you know, let's invest in reducing what they call a brain drain, and let's invest in our young people. And so let's create free at the point of access, because it's not free, it still costs, right? Governments and funders, but the idea being free at the point of access. So you nailed it. Those were primarily the countries.
And like you're saying, Johnny, it's many different systems that have this in common, and these aren't new things. They've been experimenting with it for quite a long time. So if we in America tried to get in on this program, we would not be wading into uncharted waters. There's a lot to learn from, and I'm sure that what it ends up looking like if we did it here would be somewhat different because we're taking lessons learned, applying it to our context. But I really think that's interesting, Johnny. Tim. Well, oh, Johnny's got something.
Last fun fact, Jacob. The architects of it were from here. So this was part of an initiative from the second Bill of Rights coming out of the War on Poverty to say, hey, we really got to figure out how to continue education for our learners in our country and invest in, you know, stronger economic means for all of our communities. And so they thought, hey, we're going to fund the heck out of higher education. We can get into a history lesson at some point, bring it back up. But what happened in the late 70s, early 80s to that decision, primarily out of California, there was this particular Hollywood superstar who made a big shift on this. So we can come back around to that another time. But it were the architects of this vision went overseas per se and helped build this. So it can say it's built by the great folks here in the United States somewhat, or supported by, but they were not able to put it into action, implement it here. And so womp, 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 here we are paying student loans off and experiencing a massive dip in our customers in higher ed. I'll put it that bluntly. Students became our customers.
If I could put that into context that the average American can understand, Johnny, you're saying that the idea of higher education being more subsidized or even fully paid by the state started in the United States and it took off overseas. Much like in Full House, when Uncle Jesse's band was not popular, but he found That's out right. that in Japan, they loved him. So it's yeah. it's much like that. I think that can bring that to a level that we can all understand. Tim, how about you? What's an overseas education system, method, or educator that you'd like to highlight?
Okay. Johnny knows. Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate your insights into probably knowing where I would go. Just quick, though, back on the public higher education in America. Understand, both of you, anytime you want to talk about importing something good from somewhere else, even though we sent it over there, as my best friends, we can't do that here, though. It would never work here. So just remember, it will never work in America. For some reason, that it's just a known fact that anytime something that is good, that shows a value of the human condition, it won't work here.
I think so, eventually so Uncle Jesse's going to catch on here. You just give him a chance.
Jacob, I got to put it, you know, I have been a super fan of Finland. In fact, Pasi Sahlberg, who used to be the head of what would be their education department, his qualifications were not suplexing and embarrassing himself on TV to become the head of education in Finland. No, he's actually an educator. But Jacob, what it is with Finland too, and this is one of those questions that people say, you know, how did they do it? It just must be something special. The Finnish kids, you know, they've got something we don't have. You know what they had? In the 40s, they said, you know what? We need to fix this. We need a better education system. And they put together a lot of smart people. They actually found smart people in their country and said, how do we design a public education system that is quality, that does an incredible job of educating? And they did this really unique thing. They actually empowered educators to be large decision makers in helping design that education system in the 40s. So this is not something they've always had this blessed, great sense of education. It was intentionally designed and brought forth. And so what happens there? Well, you know, I think a lot of people rightfully say that, you know, they have probably one of the strongest, if not the strongest, public education system in whether you want to be, you know, and everybody knows I'm not a big test score guy, but on test scores, Finland continues to always be on the top. The other thing, though, Jacob, which I think, you know, especially from Johnny and our point of view, they don't have a teacher shortage problem because they actually require teachers to get master's degrees, and the salaries for teachers are continually one of the highest professions you can get for. And that was designed in the 40s, intentional to say, if we're going to have a great education system, we have to make the profession of teaching a profession that we value and see these people who are going to be teachers as the models that we want to emulate. So people talk about, you know, what's it like to be a teacher? Ask that question to an American teacher. Ask that question to a Finnish teacher. It's incredible to hear the difference of the experience there. So when it comes to, you know, that sense of it, I just really have you know, spent my own time, you know, reading. And actually, the gentleman I'm talking about, Pashti Salberg, he's actually been on a couple early episodes of Busted Pencils because he spoke at some other conferences that I was at, and I had him drop in as a guest. Everybody, though, too, you want to check it out. One of his favorite book from educators like me, it's called Finish Lessons. Finish Lessons by Pashti Salberg. You get it, you take a look at it, and it's just something there that's powerful. And my sense of it was a community that said intentionally, we want the best, and then they designed the best. But I think the thing that really empowers me, though, is that reality of going, if you're going to be a teacher in Finland, you know that you are going to be held in the highest regard in society. And that right there just creates a sense of mission in their teachers and a profoundness where they recognize the work that they're doing, and the community members value and see the work they do as, you know, incredibly powerful. And so there's a legitimacy to a teacher and how the teacher moves and acts and is treated then in society. So treating your teachers professionally, paying them well, and I will point this out because I'm afraid Johnny might come back to remind you, they have incredibly high standards to get into their teaching colleges to become teachers, because it is such a prestigious position when you attain the role of teacher in the country of Finland. So I'm laying it out there, and Jacob, I don't think you knew this, but we have some Finnish listeners to Busted Pencils. When we were doing the live 5-day-a-week show, some of them even listened live despite that major time disadvantage that they had. So, hey, Finnish friends, if you're downloading this podcast, there it is. Hats off to you. Busted Pencils, putting it out, loving you guys, loving you women, loving you teachers over there. And hey, Busted Pencils, we're ready to come to Helsinki and do live from Helsinki, Jacob, Johnny, and Dr. Tim. Busted Pencils from Finland, man. That's where I'm going, Jacob.
Tim, that you're on fire today. That was a very good answer, Tim. But I'm a little dense, Tim. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the smartest blade in the shed. So much like a real estate developer auditioning companies to see who should pour his foundation, Tim, I need concrete examples, Tim. So let's say, I just want to ask you, Tim, what's the difference if I'm Mr. Larry Johnson teaching in Kansas City or Mr. Kevin Lankinen teaching in Helsinki? What is the difference in my day-to-day being empowered in Finland? Can you give me an example of that?
The day-to-day, now this is one thing. Finland has a national curriculum, and so they actually kind of blow out where Johnny and I really can talk about localized. They have a very nationally agreed upon curriculum, and so where they're headed. And so teachers really talk about the strength of that ability to know this is what we're supposed to teach. This is what we as a country have agreed upon. And so that clarity right there of the teacher in Finland in realizing that, you know, wherever they go in Finland to teach, the expectations are incredibly high, but they're the same. And I think right there, that's a big difference here in America, that sometimes when you hear about the impermeability of teachers' ability to sometimes even just go from town to town, but let alone go from one state to the other, the disincentives that we put in place, for example, teaching licenses in one state not being recognized in another state, again, standards that are incredibly different in one state, when do you teach what, you know, being different. You know, I taught this in third grade when I was in Iowa, and now that I'm teaching fifth grade, it's back in the curriculum. So that's an example that I can, you know, point to there. Does that help you, Jacob?
That does help me, Tim. I feel a lot better now.
Okay.
And I feel like an educated educator.
I wanted to put a shine on your blade.
Well, you know what's a real common one, Tim, that is in there is a strong investment in early childhood education in the form of what they call universal educare, right? So there's like there's mandatory compulsory, what we call preschool, but it's not up to families to go find and pay a lot of money for. It's, you know, preschool has become expensive like higher ed. So it's funded learning for everyone. And you won't find, and this is something I think our Finnish educator friends could speak more to, because they do, they experience that there are some differences, but the differences aren't as vast. And what I mean by that is there's more equity and equality across the schools. So there's not like, well, you're going to a bad school and I'm going to a good school. Funding is really not, you know, leaving schools, some schools in the lurch while other schools flourish. So there's more equity and equality across that. And Tim, I think you nailed it too, Jacob. They have high, high standards for their teachers. Again, their teachers don't go into crippling debt to become teachers, but they have high, high standards for it. Great schools. And that smart, wise investment is if you put the money in to them when they're little, the return is higher when they're bigger.
I think on the face of it, some people would think, well, if the standards are higher, then you'll have fewer teachers. But you guys seem to be saying that actually having the higher standards along with more respect, more responsibility, it all comes together into encouraging people to want to be teachers. Am I getting that correct?
Well, there's a law of coming into the middle, because this statement is a little skewed, because doctors here make a lot more money than doctors in Finland. But to often say Finland pays its teachers like it pays its doctors. And that speaks to Tim's, you know, statement of like there is a high value status. Like there isn't this discourse that like teachers are just babysitters. You know, they're just young women who don't have kids yet. That's not that sentiment that we have, kind of stereotype or trope of teachers only working part of the year and not really doing a lot. And, you know, they're already overpaid and all of these kinds of sentiments that exist in our country. It's the opposite. So when I say teachers are paid like doctors, that's a common comparison. And while my super capitalist friends remind me, you know, a doctor here makes a lot more than a doctor in Finland, which is true. But the kind of classification, hey, health and education are two of the really important things to that nation. And so let's make the pay commensurable to that. And so I think you see a lot of strong teachers go into teaching and stay in teaching.
Yeah. I think the other part of this, Jacob, and you asking this question, you know, this actually is, you know, what is a country's value system?
Yeah.
And you can see that in the education system, as Johnny points out. I mean, it's not just Finland. I mean, the Scandinavian countries all in particular for me, I'm big fans, because they do. It's not just about, you know, getting kindergarten and access to a great school. It's early childhood education, the idea that you've got to search all over, get on waiting lists to get into a high quality childcare. No, high quality care is the norm. That's the expectation. And guess what? It pays off. And so that value system, I think, is what carries it all the way through to realizing that, you know, this is something that is to be respected, it's important. And he pointed out, it's just like, you know, what is more important to the future of your country, of your people? You know, education, the well-being, the taking care of. And so this, you know, I was being a little flippant early on, but we could easily do this in America. I think the problem we have in America isn't the fact about, you know, do we have enough smart people to come up with a great education system? Do we have a agreement across all of our different cultures? And maybe more in particular, I bet we have a lot more agreement across all of the people of our many different cultures, but across the political class, the ruling class of this country, what do they value? And I'm pretty sure that what we're talking about shows you the value system that we have in America.
Tim, well, I think Johnny has something that he would like to add.
Well, Tim, you know, I think you touched on too, the values, right? And I think you like to be a happy guy, even though sometimes you're grumpy with the youth, telling them to get off your lawn and to learn more from AI and less from social media and
get off
and
their all phones. These things.
Yeah, get off their phones. Put your phones away. Put your phones away. But, you know, you've brought this up before, and you did again today with the values of the country. And you had we had a show, I mean, a few months back when the report came out around top-ranking countries in the index of happiness. And, you know, Finland is regularly in the championship position for this. And so, you know, happy people, healthy people, well-educated people kind of going to go hand in hand. And I like how you brought that out as, like, a core value system.
That's it. Jacob, what else, man? Or what do you, you know, I'm ready now, man. You got me warmed up. You're going to tell me we got to wait till next time.
You guys, I really appreciate you coming on the show again this week. Great answers as always, Tim, Johnny. Can I get you back next week to do this again?
I think so.
Ooh, yeah, I'm definitely in, Jacob. I am in.
I'll talk to your people, but there's one more thing that I do on this show every week, and it's pretty important. Let's go! Guys, I'm going to give you 60 seconds to answer this next question. We're going to start with Tim because we started with Johnny on the other thing. Tim, give me one thing that you've learned from overseas that you're going to try to do this year as an educator.
One of the continued statements of value to live and point out and be a model about valuing quality education, valuing access. And so particularly in my new position here, to really make sure that the university I'm working for really pays a lot of strict attention and actually gets behind the idea of access for a lot of those students that have typically not seen themselves as, quote, being part of a university. I am going to model that, go out and try to really help more and more students, show them that access to higher education, it's for all of us.
Great answer. And Dr. J, same question to you. What's an overseas lesson that you're going to use yourself as an educator in this next year?
Yeah, I think it's just to have more international conversations. So, you know, being a person who likes to have conversations like we do here on Busted Pencils, bringing more of that into my classroom, into my teaching, having experienced educators from other country speak with my students, my teachers, all the folks who are part of our education system. So we have an open dialogue because I think it's really important to learn from outside perspectives, especially when you're going through a moment like our country is.
Thank you very much, Dr. J, Dr. Tim. And now for your moment of Zen.
I started studying history with one view in mind, to look for answers to the issues and problems I saw in the world about me.
Thank you for listening to Producer's Choice. And if you want to grab more Busted Pencils podcasts, well, you just go on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always get us at civicmedia.com. or on our website, bustedpencils.com. You can always find great Busted Pencils content like today's show on Mondays for homeroom, Wednesdays for class and session, and of course on Friday like today for producer Jacob's Choice. And Pencil Busters, you know where you can always find us. You can tune in and you can listen to the Busted Pencils broadcast on the weekend, on Saturday, at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the civic media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.